Father, our prayer this morning is that you would take our heart, you would take our mind, and you would take our will. You would transform them, conform them to your perfect will and purpose for our lives. That, Father, we would walk after you all the days of our lives, and, Lord, we'd be willing and obedient to do all that you've called us to. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing, which destroys every yoke of bondage. And, Lord, we tap into that anointing today. Lord, to receive from you, to hear from you, Lord, and to do as you will and purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It was so good when you have confirmation of God's will and purpose for what you're going to be speaking about. And throughout this week, I've just heard God speak to me through different avenues, different people, even Cam's email that came out, you know, talking about God's assignment and destiny for us in this time of our lives. It's important that we hear from God, that it's not just a word that I just bring forth and just wrote down. No, I want to hear what God has to say to us. Amen. And I know that you do too. It's not just a written word. It's the Logos word that we need to hear. You know, as I've been praying for the last, I think it's about a month now that I've known that Cam has asked me to speak, I've just been searching God's heart. And you know, oftentimes God speaks to us a message he wants to bring forth across us because he's already speaking it to you. And I can assure you that Cam and anybody else who speaks knows this to be true, that God is already speaking to them in their own personal life before he brings it forth to the rest of the congregation. Amen? So what we're about to hear today is probably something that you've heard before, but the title of this message is The Wilderness Experience, A Place of Change. And you know, many of us have been through wilderness experiences, or maybe you're going through a wilderness experience right now in your own life. And the wilderness experiences can be any number of different things. It can be a time of dry spirituality. It can be a place of financial wilderness. It could be a relationship wilderness, or any number of things that you're going through. But whatever your wilderness experience is that you're going through, God wants you to know that he's in there with you and that he has a plan and a purpose for that wilderness experience that you're going through. That it's not just a place where you're going to end up dried up, beat up, or left to die. No, God, that's not God's plan or purpose. God's plan and purpose is to bring you through that wilderness into a land of promise, just like he promised the Israelites. Amen? And in Exodus chapter 2, I'm going to read, "Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman." And this is the story of Moses. And many of you who know the Bible are familiar with it. Moses was raised in the household of Pharaoh. He was a Hebrew slave child, but he was brought into the household of Pharaoh. And he was taught, he had probably the highest education that you could even imagine. He was trained probably in military conduct. He was well educated in the things of the world, probably commerce and trade and everything else like that. He wasn't some ignorant individual. He was very well trained. And everything that he had been trained, what he thought he had been trained for, God had a different plan. It didn't mean that God couldn't use what he was trained for, but God had a different plan for him. And I'm going to jump down to verse 14. The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live at Midian, where he sat down by a well. Midian is not actually a geographical place. Midian is described as a group of people or association. It was a desert land where nomadic peoples raised sheep, cattle, and livestock. But it was a wilderness. Moses ended up running to the wilderness. And you know, people, there are sometimes where we run to the wilderness. There are sometimes where God leads us into the wilderness, as he did the children of Israel when they left Egypt. And there are times when we are driven to the wilderness, where we're driven there and we're really not heading that in the direction, but we are driven there by circumstances or people or outside forces that are against us. Moses met his wife and was trained by his father-in-law. It was also the place Moses encountered God at the burning bush. There are many stories in the Bible of people who were either led or driven into the wilderness. And some of them I'm going to name to you: Moses, Elijah, David, and even Jesus himself was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. It says, "And then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil." And you know, folks, there are lessons to be learned in the wilderness. Whether you've been led there or driven there, or however you found yourself in that place of wilderness or dryness, God has lessons for us to learn. That it's not just a time that is wasted. It's not a dry time. It's not a place where that's it, I'm done, I'm finished. No, God has a plan and a purpose for us in that wilderness experience. Your wilderness experience could be any number of reasons, like I said before. Some of these experiences seem to last forever. You know, Moses was in the desert for 40 years before he encountered the Lord that we hear of in the Bible. Amen? David spent 17 years in the wilderness being chased by Saul. He was anointed king at 17, but it wasn't until he was 33 years old that he became actual king of Israel. Elijah spent some time in the wilderness. Elijah was running from Jezebel. There's no clear timeline for how long David hid out in the wilderness from Saul, but we do know that it was a great time of great soul searching for David, and it was also a time where he was developing character to lead the children of Israel. Amen? In Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, Ahab told his wife Jezebel what Elijah had done and that he had killed the prophets. She sent a message to Elijah: "You killed my prophets, now I'm going to kill you. I pray that the gods will punish me even more severely if I don't do it by this time tomorrow." Elijah was afraid when he got her message, and he ran to the town of Beersheba in Judah. He left his servant there, then walked another whole day into the desert. Finally, he came to a large bush and sat down in its shade. He begged the Lord, "I've had enough. Just let me die. I'm no better off than my ancestors." Then he lay down in the shade and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel woke him up and said, "Get up and eat, Elijah. Get up and eat." Elijah looked around, and by his head was a jar of water and some baked bread. He sat up, ate and drank, then lay down and went back to sleep. Soon the Lord's angel woke him again and said, "Get up and eat, or else you'll get too tired to travel." So Elijah sat up and ate and drank. The food and water made him strong enough to walk 40 more days. At last he reached Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, and he spent the night there in a cave. While Elijah was on Mount Sinai, the Lord asked, "Elijah, why are you here?" He answered, "The Lord God all-powerful, I've always done my best to obey you, but your people have broken their solemn promise to you. They have torn down your altars and killed all your prophets except me, and now they are even trying to kill me." "Go out and stand in the mountain," the Lord replied. "I want you to see me when I pass by." All at once, the strong wind shook the mountain and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. Next, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Finally, there was a gentle breeze, and when Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his coat. He went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. The Lord asked, "Elijah, why are you here?" The Lord said, "Elijah, you can go back to the desert near Damascus, and when you get there, appoint Hazael to be king of Syria, then appoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, to be king of Israel, and Elijah, son of Shaphat, to take your place as my prophet. Hazael will start killing the people who worship Baal. Jehu will kill those who escape from Hazael, and Elijah will kill those who escape from Jehu." I want to go back to verse 14. And the Lord asked Elijah, "Why are you here?" Sometimes when we're in the desert, God wants to know why you're there. He already knows why you're there. Anybody, he wants you to know why you're there. Sometimes we don't even know why we're in the desert. And so it's a time of a reflection. You know, this whole COVID-19 thing has really set the world apart. A lot of people have gone into isolation, distanced themselves. But for some of us, it can be a good time. It could be a time of where we get to actually sit and spend some time with the Lord, where we can quiet our lives a little bit, where we can actually hear God speak to us. You know, the earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. Sometimes the world is shaking around us and everything's rumbling, and all we're hearing is, and we're looking at the sights and the turmoil that's going around us, and we're not hearing God. Amen? Sometimes there's fire. There's things that are happening in our lives that just draw all our attention away, and we can't hear God. We're trying to figure things out for ourselves. We're trying to say, God, where are you? Where are you in all this mess that's going on in my life right now? I can't seem to find you. There's a time where we need to quiet ourselves, where we need to be still before the Lord. And the Bible says there was a gentle breeze that came in. And Elijah began to hear the Lord. And the Lord said, Elijah, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you in the midst of your wilderness right now? Whether it's a relationship wilderness, a financial relationship. Whatever your wilderness experience is, God is saying to you and to me today, why are you here? You know, there's some things that we need to learn. Elijah, if you read in the book of Kings about what Elijah did, he had 400 of the false prophets put to death. He had called down fire from heaven and burned up the sacrifice, which was drenched in water. He had seen many miracles and things of God. But yet Elijah, there was something going on in Elijah's heart that drove him into the wilderness. Fear. Jezebel threatened him, and he ran and he hid in fear. God was dealing with Elijah's fear. God wasn't done with Elijah in the wilderness. Even though he spent some time in the wilderness wandering around, God wasn't done with him there. He still had a plan and purpose for Elijah to accomplish. And after the Lord speaks to him, says to him, Elijah, I want you to do this. His assignment was not completed yet. Even though he had done many great things, seen many miracles, called down fire from heaven, God had still some great things for him to do. And you'll see, sometimes when we've done great things or we've had great things happen in our life, we can get comfortable. But there are certain areas in our lives where we haven't dealt with yet. And God allows us to go into that wilderness experience so that we can deal with those things in our heart. Because God still has great things for us to accomplish. Amen? If you don't know where you're going, you don't have a map, you don't have a plan, how are you going to get there? I found that out this weekend. My wife and I went to Leoville, Saskatchewan to pick up a dog from my niece. And I rely on her with her phone to give us GPS directions. Well, on the way back, she fell asleep. And I put on probably 200 kilometers I never should have. I'm not blaming her. I mean, I should have woken her up. But I was not sure where I was going. And because I wasn't sure where I was going, I landed up where I didn't want to be. And I had to backtrack. Sometimes that happens to us in life, amen? Sometimes we have to backtrack. Whether you call it a spiritual wilderness, a drought, a dry season, or rut, the experience of distance from God and apathy in our Christian walk saps us of life. It confuses us and it frustrates us. Why doesn't God feel near? Why can't I get out? Why aren't my passions or desires for the things of God increasing? Anybody ever experienced that? You don't have to put your hand up. Anybody ever experienced those things in your life? God, why can't I get out of this rut? Why can't I see change? You know, as we were listening to that song, Lord, transform me. So often in our own humanity, we know our own weaknesses, we know our own faults, and we try to change ourselves. If I just do this, if I just do that. The things I want to do, I do not do, and the things I don't do. In our lives where we just come to a place where in our own strength and ability, we cannot change ourselves. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal what's actually going on in our heart so that we can actually come about change, a different person. All your own self-effort is not going to bring change in your life. It may change your outward appearance. It may change some of the things that you do outwardly, but still there's something in here. Something in here has to transform. Amen? Something in here, and it can only be done by the Spirit of God. It's not a thing that you can do physically. It's not a thing that you can do mentally. As much as you and I will try, there's still something in here that's got to have to, the penny has to drop in here before it becomes here. Amen? In these seasons, we're tempted with a few lies. This will last forever. God is no longer for me or with me. This time is a waste. None of these are true, folks. The seasons eventually change, and drought gives way to refreshment and fruitfulness. Despite what we might feel, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And nothing in our life is purposeless, not even our wandering in the wilderness. Nothing is purposeless. God's purpose for us in the desert might be as varied and layered as how we got in. His reasons might not be clear right now, and they may or may not be clear looking back. But we trust in his promise us to lead us wherever we go and do us good wherever he takes us. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm going to read it to you. You have that up? Okay. Every commandment which I command in you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the land which he has given you. Beware that you not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through this great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your father did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in that land in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day, And it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you. So you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Powerful, powerful words. Amen. God's plans and purposes are for us to prosper, to live a good and healthy life, and remember him in everything and put him first in everything that we do. You know, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went out to Alberta. My nephews had committed suicide, taken his own life. He was 42 years old. His first wife that he was with, they had four children. And he left that relationship and entered another relationship. He was with that woman for 3 years. COVID-19 came, destroyed his business. Financially, he was ruined. And his second wife left him, and he lost hope. Went into his garage and took a gun and shot himself in the head. There's a lot of people today, folks, that are out without hope. He was in a wilderness. He was in a wilderness, a dry and desert place. But David said in the Psalms, from whence come my help? My help comes from the Lord. Now, sometimes when people get into that circumstances, they don't have that hope that you and I have. They don't have that strong, competent faith. They don't have the word of God in them. And they give up. They lose hope. And they surrender to the lies and the temptations of the devil, and they just throw the towel in. But God's plan and purposes are to bring us through those desert times in our lives. I know, I've been there. I've struggled with mental illness and suicide when I was a young man. I tried to commit suicide when I was 19. Thank God, God had a plan and a purpose for me, and I did not succeed. I'm still here today. And I'm still working on the final assignment. And God is still working on me. He's still changing me. He's still growing me. He's still developing me. He's still revealing to me myself who I am. See, I used to compare myself to other people. Think Cam talked last week about being real. I'm being real with you today. I would see other people, men of God, and I'd see their character and the way that they were moving in the Spirit and how God was using them, and I would just get so down on myself. I've come to realize that I'm not another man. I am who I am. I'm not there yet, but I'm on the way. Amen. Maybe you've been struggling yourself. Maybe you try to measure up, but you just don't feel that you measure up. Well, I want you to know that you don't have to measure up to anybody besides the Lord. He's our judge. He knows what the struggles that we've gone through. He knows the pain that you're embracing right now. He knows your hurt. He knows your desires. He knows your dreams more than anybody else will ever know. God is faithful, as Cam spoke this morning about the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to bring us through. to bring us to the next part of our journey, to our next assignment, that he's not done with you yet, that he has more for you, just like he revealed to Elijah. Elijah's fear was revealed as Jezebel chased him. David's fears were revealed to him when he was being pursued by Saul in the wilderness. That didn't mean that they didn't accomplish things. David created, amassed a great army of all those who were distressed and in debt. God is still amassing an army of all those who are distressed and in debt. Discouraged. You may be discouraged here today. You may be in debt today. Well, God's got a plan and a purpose for you. He's amassing you because he's got greater things ahead for each and every one of us. Amen? I would, go home this week. Just take the time to read through chapter 8 and just meditate, or Deuteronomy chapter 8, and meditate upon it. Get it in your spirit. Excuse me. I'm just going to highlight a few things that the Lord had done through Deuteronomy chapter 8. In verse 2, he says, to humble us so that we live with dependence on God rather than trusting in ourselves. Sometimes we just think, well, I can do it. I have the means. But you know, when your feet are kicked out from underneath you and you're laying flat on your back, you realize you don't have the means. Amen? And I'll tell you this, that none of us at any point in time are not susceptible to having their feet kicked out from underneath us. It's something unexpectedly, and I'm not pronouncing a curse on anybody here. I'm just saying that at any point in time, life can change so quickly. Amen? And it's just one day you're walking and then all of a sudden something that you never expected, or a crisis happens that you never seen coming. Whether it's a finance or it's a medical or whatever thing, or a relationship thing, you never seen it coming, and all of a sudden, bang, it's there. And now you're dealing with it. He says also in verse 2, to test or teach us so we see what's in our hearts needing change by God and learn to walk in his ways. He lets us go hungry so he might feed us. Learning about our weaknesses leads us to learning about God's strength. To prove we can trust in his promises and word by seeing his perfect provision when we needed it most. To discipline us as a loving father so that we would not continue in error, leading to more pain and problems, and learn to walk in God's will to experience joy and peace. As a father, many of you know that when you see your children continuing on a path and you have to lay some discipline down, it pains you to do that. But your love for that child prompts you or moves you to bring discipline into a situation so that no further harm will come to that child. Amen? And it's done out of love. It's not done because of anger. It's done because you love that individual, that you're willing to discipline them because you want the best for them. And God is no different with us. To show his might and power, his provision and care, and his love and kindness in unmistakable ways, such as causing their clothes and footwear to last, delivering them from slavery, and protecting them from dangers and fears, refreshing them with water from the rock, and feeding them with food they do not see or know of. You know, a lot of people are going through this COVID-19 thing. And a lot of people, like my nephew, who did not have the hope and the faith that some of us here have today, gave up. But the faithfulness of God has brought us through. You know, a lot of us in this room, maybe you're self-employed or you've lost your job or whatever else, and you have not had the means to sustain yourself. God has been faithful to bring us through. You know, we haven't walked in the greatest of plenty, but we haven't lacked either. God has continually been there to watch over us. Amen? to cultivate in us the fear of God, what he's capable of stirring worship in our hearts and obedience in our lives. God teaches and provides all these things in a wilderness where it's clear he had done the work. Where God had done the work. I didn't do this. I didn't have the ability to change. I didn't have the ability to come out of a financial crisis. But God did the work. Amen? By walking in the wilderness, we're given perspective to better enjoy and be grateful for the good things we will enjoy later in seasons of refreshment, abundance, and vitality. You know, to help us know that despite wilderness seasons and seeming delays on the journey, God is sovereign in control of all seasons, circumstances, and timing, and that he is faithful to his covenant, his word, and his promises. We are not redeemed to live in the wilderness forever, folks. It's a time of passing through. When Moses, or the Lord who was leading the children of Israel through the desert, his plan wasn't for them to leave them there. His plan was to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, a plan of prosperity, great blessing. But it was also a time of change, a time where they could rely on God, a time of humbling, so that they would trust in the Lord and not in their own strength or their own might. Israel and all her up and down history struggled to believe this. The people asked, can God spread a table in the wilderness? In Psalm 78, verse 19. Yes, he can, folks. God can spread a table in the wilderness. Even in the wilderness, God isn't limited by scarce resources around us or weak faith within us. What we see is not all he has to work with. God's resources are unlimited and go beyond what we can imagine. We know from our own personal stories, and many of you have your own, that God provides, he delivers, and he proves faithful in ways we didn't see coming. When things are thin, he stretches them out. When our resources dry up, he pours out just what we need. He can and will provide a table in the wilderness. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Trust in his timing. Don't run from God. Put yourself in his path. In Isaiah chapter 40, 28 to 31, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a promise, folks. As we wait, and you can put that word, instead of wait, you can put hope. Those who hope in the Lord will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness. And God called him from a burning bush. David waited 17 years. Wandering around in the wilderness and hiding out in caves before he actually became the king of Israel. Elijah's biggest assignment was appointing others. Elijah thought he had done big things, but that wasn't his biggest assignment. His biggest assignment was preparing others to go after him. Jesus proved his divine calling in the desert.
where he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Whatever your wilderness is today, God's plan and purposes is not to leave you there. His plan and his purpose is to bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey, to fulfill the assignment. You see, we don't have the full measure of the assignment that God has for us. Sometimes in the wilderness, we're given the rest of the assignment. Your wilderness experience may be the place where God is developing you to bring you into the final assignment that he has. That's a good thing, folks. Amen. As we close, I just want to say this. Maybe today you find yourself in a wilderness experience and you need someone to help pray you through. God didn't mean for us to go through the wilderness on our own. He's provided. He provides in ways that we have no idea how he's going to do. But he also surrounds us with men and women who love us and who are going to stand with us in faith to bring us through that wilderness. Amen. He wants you to know this morning that you're not alone. I'm bringing you through. You're not finished. I'm not finished with you yet. I've got greater things for you to do. As we know that we enter into last days as signs and times reveal more of God's plan and purpose. As we see darkness covering the earth, deep darkness of the people, the Bible says in Isaiah 60 that the glory of the Lord is rising upon you. God's glory is going to shine through you because the brightness of the Lord is going to draw the nations unto himself. God's plan and purpose of you is to prosper, to be in health. Rise up. I really heard that this morning as I was talking with Matt in coffee. Rise up. I hear that word resounding in my spirit. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. God is rising up, raising up his church. We're not a defeated church. We're not a defeated bunch. We're the church that's on the rise. Amen. God's glory, his power, and his purpose is going to be revealed in our lives. And we're going to see the greatest miracles and signs and wonders anybody's ever seen in the world. As the Holy Spirit is about to be poured out on his sons and his daughters. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So if you're here today and you need someone to stand with you, we have a prayer team. I would love to stand with you, lay hands on you, cast vision, speak into your life. When I went out to Medicine Hat and we were at the funeral, I've got a big family. I come from a family of 13 kids. I have lots of nephews and nieces. And I made it a plan and a purpose that when I was going out there, everyone I came into contact, I was going to lay my hands on and I was going to tell them I love them. I spoke destiny into my nephew's children. I prophesied over them. It says God's got a plan and a purpose for you. What the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn to the good. I led people to the Lord. See, in your darkest hour might be the time that God wants to really shine. Amen?
Amen.
Just because the devil comes to try to kill, steal, and destroy, God says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Went out to visit my niece and her daughter was there. She's struggling. She's only 11 years old. Doesn't want to go to school. I laid hands on her and prayed for her and prophesied over her. Told her that God has plans and purposes for her. The power of God is inside of us. The word of God is inside of us and he wants us to use it to manifest his glory and his purposes in this earth. Speak over your children, speak over your grandchildren, speak over your family, your friends, your loved ones. Speak against the enemy, tear down the darkness, and reveal the light of God's glory and holiness. Because he's a good God. Amen. So if you're here today and you want something, you need somebody to stand with you, you need to be encouraged today, I want to encourage you to come forward.
Bible says there's therefore no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but according to the Spirit. The devil would like to keep us in shame. He wants to keep us shut up. He doesn't want people, like Cam had said, that he wants the real you. Who are the real you? What you're seeing today is a real Bill. Thanks, Chris. Sometimes it's the ugly Bill. Over this last little while, God has showed me some things about myself that are not very pretty. It's okay. He's dealing with that. He's working on me. Thank you.